Welcome to Dial M for Maple, the AV Club podcast that usually takes a deep dive look at Riverdale. But today we're interrupting your regularly scheduled self-isolating to catch up on the CW's other Archieverse series, Katie Keene. I'm your host, Mara Egan, and I'm joined, as always, by Cameron Sheets. Cameron, hello.
Hey. Good to hear from you. We are not in the same place. Don't worry.
Thank God. We talked like 5 minutes ago for a work thing, so it's not even like...
Yeah, I was just kind of keeping up, you know, appearances for the podcast. Like, oh, like imagine a world where we only ever talk when we're on air for Dial-In for Maple.
This could be good, actually, because sometimes we haven't been able to figure out how to do podcast recording, like if one of us is out of town or, or you know, whatever. So, you know, I think this is like forcing us to figure it out.
To get creative. Good. I mean, I literally recording in a closet, as you can see over Zoom.
But... I should take a screenshot of it.
Oh, yeah, this is going to be gold for the Twitter.
except which... I have to use two hands, and I'm holding a mic with one hand. So here, four. Oh, no.
Yeah, that's tough. I will tease, speaking of Twitter, which we'll talk about in the blue and gold at the end, but we have been trying to keep busy with our Riverdale Minor Character Madness polls, and we have a winner, which we just tweeted about, but the timing worked out pretty well with this recording, so we'll be able to talk about that at the end, and that's been so fun to do.
Yes.
Which kind of leads me into the ice puncher before we get into why we're here, as you mentioned up top, Katie Keene, but my ice puncher was just what's helping you get through quarantine. I think this is a crazy time, and why not talk about it?
Honestly, truly nothing. Like, this is nothing shitty. Helping. And, I don't know, going outside, I guess. Like,
yeah.
My kids are starting to revolt against going outside. Like, I'm like, they used to love it. Like, they're obsessed with it day one. And now they're like, no. So, yeah. But that's what's getting me through, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I know. That's tough with them to even be able to get out. For a little bit. I've similarly been trying to go on walks. We're just like two blocks south of this nice neighborhood in the hills. Our neighborhood is not nice, but we're close to a nice one. And it's just such an escape to go walk through there. And the air has been so clear here in LA. And
that's
so you
true.
Can actually see really, really far. And it's just, it's gorgeous up there. So that's helped, as have our plants on our little balcony. And I'm just so grateful for that.
I've been going to the tar pits and, like, you know, LACMA, where like the big rock is. Mm-hmm. There's never anyone over there because no one's going to museums, but if you have a it's a pretty close walk to wheel the old stroller up there, so
yeah, that's
if you
really
see
nice.
A person pushing a stroller, that's me.
Oh, I also wanted to say oh my God, time doesn't make sense anymore. But
no, it doesn't.
Something else that's been helping me is the new Dua Lipa album, Future Nostalgia. It's really fun.
Speaking of that, you know what I really like? One thing that has been keeping me going is like fun people who are really bored and making like really intense YouTubes. So like Nicole Byer and John Milheiser's like Dua Lipa Drag Race lip sync. Speaking of that, that's like one thing that I was like, this is great. I love this. I'll watch it 20 times. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's been nice. I mean, I think there's a lot of comedians that have gotten really creative and have had some fun with it, all things considered, which has been nice.
Did you watch the Dua Lipa James Corden thing from last night?
Oh, yeah. It was great.
Okay. Yeah, with the dancers. It was great.
Well done. People really figure out how to work this technology to help them out, much like ourselves.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have dancers behind me right now. You just can't see them.
Right.
And we'll I'm in really full drag, so there's that, too.
I was going to say, so to bring it back into our discussion, truly, this has given me time to catch up on Katie Keene in a way I hadn't before. And we had teased wanting to talk about it. So this feels like the perfect time. I mean, the Riverdale itself has been on hiatus since our last episode, and there's some TBD nature to that, which we'll get to at the end. But Katie Keene has still been running new episodes, with the most recent being this last Thursday night. And I'm all caught up now. Mm-hmm. I fully love it, and I'm excited to talk about it with you.
I really like watching it. Like, it's one of those things that's like, if I have 100 things on my DVR, I'll be like, oh, this. Like, it's the thing I choose first.
Just yeah,
it's
I mean,
fun
there's...
and it's pretty and everyone looks nice and like, yeah.
It's so true. Yeah, there's a huge element to this that is just escapist that helps so much, especially right now. It's just pure joy for the most part. You know, and Riverdale obviously has its pleasures too, and has its, you know, its jokes and moments of levity, but that one's also just so largely concerned with murder and serial killers and whatnot that it is refreshing to have this show kind of just be about people trying to make it in the world, I guess specifically in this like slightly fantasy version of New York City, but it's wonderful.
And like hot people that are interested in each other and like, I don't know, yeah. I mean, which Riverdale has too, but New characters.
Yeah, I mean, that's been fun getting to know these new characters. I did, you know, I figured we would sort of do our part to recap where things have gone so far, since that is generally the nature of the podcast. But I'm curious, like, out of everyone on the show, who do you, like, tune in for? Who do you like the most?
I actually really like all of them right now. But I guess the one I'm, like, most invested in is Katie.
Yeah,
me too. Just because,
like,
I think Lucy Hale's... I don't know. I don't like buy into shows for people who are beautiful or whatever, but like Lucy Hale's so beautiful. It's like insane. And,
yeah.
And everyone, she like has, you know, she's like, at last week's episode had like a pretty clear like Sex and the City homage right at the end. And she's like the Carrie of the show. So that's who you're supposed to identify with in some sense, I suppose.
For sure. I mean, you definitely are. But I think all the characters are pretty well rounded. I mean, on one end, we're getting a lot more of a human Josie than we ever had before.
Huge. I did not care for Josie on Riverdale, and now I'm like, oh, she's great.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she's a fun character, and I really like, there's like little ways in which you see her connection with Jorge. Like, you don't necessarily have like, oh, here's the Josie and Jorge bonding episode, but you see that they're connected on certain ways. On the flip side of that is they all, especially because most of the time they're all living together, they get on each other's nerves and do some shitty things to each other. But that just feels really human, even though this is like this fantasy world show where a department store is still thriving.
Yeah, but I will say they all still kind of live in, like, Josie like sleeps on like a pull-out couch. Like, it's not insane. Like, they live in Washington Heights. They're not like in the West Village, you know? So and there is some realism to it.
Yeah, it's a cute apartment, but it is, it, I mean, it's TV show cluttered and run down. You know, it still looks nice, but they do, I mean, as far, if I'm remembering correctly, like, this is Jorge's family's building, and that's, like, even why they are able to get into this unit, and then they can afford it because they're all splitting it, so. Okay, you mentioned Katie is your favorite. I wanted to throw a curveball out there. This is maybe not surprising, but my favorite character is Gloria Granbilt.
Oh, of course.
I love her.
She's very good. And I love Helene York from The Other Guy. Such a weird role for her, but like, I like that as well.
Yeah.
And
she's,
the guy that's
not
Titus Burgess, but...
Oh, Nathan Lee Graham is incredible too. And the fact that they like... You know, he's not just the kind of ally to Katie at the workplace. We later find out that he's this, like, legendary New York drag queen and becomes kind of a mentor to Jorge. I love that, too. Yeah.
Oh, my favorite character is Devereaux, played by Shangela.
Yeah, Miss Devereaux. Okay, this is what I was going to say at some point. Any show that can have Shangela walk on in a guest role and have it just feel totally of a piece with the world of the show is a good show.
Yes, 1,000%. And like, Shangela was really good in it, and like, and the lines weren't like hacky for drag queens. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Like, sometimes they're like, my wig, like, blah, blah, blah. You know, they're bullshit lines. And they were, they all felt good. And if you want to get into the character by character thing, Katie is ostensibly being wooed by a prince and helping the prince marry this, like, you know, Lower East Side girl or whatever.
Yeah.
And I kind of don't, I'm not annoyed by it. Like, I'm not like, a prince, who gives a shit? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, that is helped by the fact that the prince is played by one of the hottest people I've ever seen. who, by the way, we already talked about Helena York, who is in the other two and has a role in this. The guy that plays Prince Errol also has like a one episode role on the other two where he goes on a date with her. And then Jorge's older brother is played by Josh Segarra, who plays, oh God, what's his name? But it's Helena's character's ex on the other two. So there's a lot of crossover there.
That's so funny.
Which
it's
I
like
think,
very New York. It's just like New
yeah,
York
for sure.
Character actor.
And we've touched on it before too, and I remember telling my mom about it after I had watched the pilot. There's just like there's a number of smaller roles in this that are colored with like actors that you legit know and are talented and have done like some amazing theater. That's not to say anything of like the Riverdale extras, like, oh my
yeah.
God, you know, we love Dr. Curtle Jr., but
they're
like
Canadian
they would get
masters.
Yeah.
They or people
get
that can
Bernadette
like fly up
Peters.
From LA. Yeah.
Yeah.
Peters is so
right.
good in this. And like the mm-hmm. the doorman who we later discover, you have to be caught up, but it's Pepper's dad.
Yes.
There's a lot of like really kind of twists and turns, not twists and turns, but just where you're waiting for the other shoe to fall. But like the people mm-hmm. are kind of sprinkled in really great ways that I really like. So
yeah, I totally agree with that.
I do always think what's her name? The prince's fiance. I want to say like Pauline, but that's not her name. Whatever it is.
Yeah,
I always think it's Leighton Meester.
Oh my God.
Not, it's
yeah.
not Leighton Meester.
She does kind of look like her for sure.
I think
that's
it's
so
the
funny.
Gossip Girl vibes.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely that. Yeah, I was going to say that there are these nice characters that are peppered through Pepper Smith that are peppered throughout. And I think that like the show has done a good job of making it about the core four and letting them all have, you know, their core four and letting them all have their own stories and get colored with things, but kind of still keeping the focus tight on them. I know that's something that we've kind of complained about with Riverdale, but that's only because Riverdale has become so focused on the core four. I don't think at the outset it felt like Kevin was getting short shrift in the way that he is now.
Yeah, but also, like, I don't want to see, like, the Alex Cabot side story. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's kind of a vague character I don't really care about, I'll say.
Yeah, I was going to say, when we were talking about the Josie of it all, one of my favorite turns of phrase of it all, but when we were talking about Josie, I was going to mention that, like, the weak point to me right now has been the Cabot stuff. I like the drama that it adds to Josie's story, and it's like showing instances where she does have agency in her career, but I've been so confused by like at any given point who's trying to like foil her career. Like on one episode it's the dad, and the next one it's Alexandra, and the next it's Alex, and that's been a little confusing to me.
She signed, it sounds like, an awful contract, too. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Where it's like, why did you do this garbage where you're, like, essentially, like, dating for music? Like, it sucks.
Yeah, and then she also is kind of, like, babysitting him and is unofficially his sponsor and trying to help keep him sober.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That's the whole thing.
Can we talk about KO? Sorry, when you mentioned hot guys. How do you feel about KO?
I don't necessarily, I'm not like, oh, I love that character, but I think that they've handled him well.
Yeah.
You agree?
Yes. He's kind of boring, and he's like mm-hmm. kind of a boring actor. Like he doesn't have as much yeah. charisma as like an Errol, but I liked that they like tried to make it work after he proposed. Mm-hmm. If you wouldn't watch the show, you're going to be like, what the fuck is going on? But after he proposed, they, like, tried to make it work. And then were like, no, this just, like, isn't 100%. Do you know what I mean? And then they
definitely.
Broke up. And if she, like, tries to get back with him, I just think it's a mistake. Anyways.
Yeah, I think so, too. But I also think, considering, like, that they were together for 10 years, like, the fact that it's not easy for either of them makes a lot of sense. And the whole proposal thing plays into another just like broader point that I think is really impressive about the show, is that, you know, at the outset you see this world, which again we've kind of described as this like loosely fantasy version of New York, and you see all these characters that have all these things going for them. Katie gets proposed to, Josie is singing outside and gets a record deal out of nowhere, but mm-hmm. I think the show's been a good job of like interrogating some of those things and some of those tropes and like those fantasies and showing why
doesn't all
not
just fall
necessary.
Into your lap. Like Pepper's not yeah. really this like girl with a column who like owns a Studio 54.
Right. I mean, she's the prime example for sure, because she's just straight up lying about like everything.
Yeah. I am dying to know what Katie's mom was keeping from her, This like sewing machine thing. Like her sewing machine, as it turns out, was from Lacey's. And they were like, oh, did your mom work here? And it turns out she did. But then Gloria like knows the deal but is keeping it from Katie. That's my suspicion. And that's like what I think we were supposed to believe.
Maybe like her dad
is like Mr. Lacey. You know what I mean?
That's all I could think. I mean, because, right, we see the plaque on the sewing machine, right, which she had not noticed before, which I thought was odd. But it says it's, like, from initials LL. So it's like, of course there's something Lacey there.
Yeah, right?
And we don't know about her dad, and it's not even really been mentioned, correct?
Yeah, I don't think so. Or, like, her mom is a Lacey.
Yeah.
And, like, she's, like, the heir to the department store fortune, or, you know what I mean? Like, something insane.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that's where we're headed with that. I mean, I like that it is sort of this, you know, I think for an Archieverse show, it makes sense that there's sort of an overarching mystery, but it's also not necessarily, well, it's definitely not overbearing to, or it's not even necessarily driving the plot as it stands.
Yeah.
But I like that it's there, because it's, like, something fun to kind of hint and guess about.
And also there's like what's going on with her career, which is like, why is, I don't, yeah, I was like, why is she trying to go to Parsons when she's 25? And then I'm like, oh, but I guess like if she didn't have the money and like had to put it off and blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. I hope she gets in.
Yeah, me too. But she's also like keeping so busy with two jobs at Lacey's and is now the apprentice to this guy.
Yeah, does she need to go to college?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think so. You were saying what's going on with Katie's career. I mentioned briefly that reminded me of the all-timer great Cher tweet where she just says, what is going on with my career? Katie Keene at all times.
That's funny. I wonder if there's a no-context Katie Keene. I'm sure there is, right?
I hope so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that because of, well, you know what? Let's take a first break. Then I want to come back and talk about the show's audience and whatnot.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Okay, we are back, and Mara and I are taking a break from Riverdale this week because there's no new episodes and we're in quarantine.
There's no new episodes for like a month. Yeah.
Yeah. To dish on Katie Keene, which we're both all caught up with now and we've been loving. I something you said at the right before our break just made me think, I hope this show is finding an audience. It's gotten pretty good reviews, but I know that there were like TV line reports from the beginning that it like opened a little cold.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, I think Riverdale did well, but then Riverdale did really well when it was on Netflix. You know what I mean? So I think
that's
that like
point.
The CW would be wise to give it a little runway, especially right now.
That is a good point. And I mean, the one great thing about CW, not the one, but one of the great things about the CW is that they do have that website and they do a pretty good job of next day the episodes are up there. Granted, you have to watch like a shit ton of commercials to get through one, but they do make it, you know, because I think a lot of younger viewers, I mean, maybe they do have cable because maybe the younger viewers are still at home, but there are a lot of people out there that probably don't have these channels. And so it makes it easy to catch up with things like that. I mean, that is largely how I watched all of this season so far. But
oh, wow.
It does worry me that its numbers aren't great just because of all this quarantine stuff. I think, like, I mean, there's so many things that this is messing up, and not to make light of any of it, but I just think, like, if, I don't know where Katie Keene was in production of things, but if that's going to slow things down and there are things that need to be cut or budgets that need to be slashed, if this just wasn't performing that well, it does worry me.
I'm going to have to find all the Katie Keene writers on Twitter and start following all of them. The showrunner, I'm sure, is there. Blah, blah, blah.
There is a Katie Keene writers account on Twitter for sure, God. Which is fun, too.
I was going to say, I read something, maybe Hollywood Reporter or something, that basically said, like, a lot of shows that are kind of on the bubble might get another season just because they didn't end up shooting as many pilots this year because, like, pilot season got interrupted. And because they just might want to say it's easier for us to just, like, the sets are already built, the show's already running, like, it's cheaper for us to, like, let a show have another season than to start a show from scratch, and, like, our money is a little tight right now.
That is a good point, and is probably the more optimistic way to think about it. And then, of course, as you said, like, this show, like Riverdale, could get a bump once it all goes on Netflix, especially if people are still sitting at home and looking for things to watch, and then that drives more excitement and engagement with the second season then. That's a good point. So maybe I shouldn't be too worried.
I wish they were, like, advertising it, like, on Drag Race or something. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wish definitely. They were, like, let's talk about Ginger Lopez.
I was going to say, I mean, Ginger, well, this is Crop a good Top time City, to jump into that.
Jorge Lopez.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've never seen him wear a full shirt.
You, a couple weeks ago, had mentioned you had some thoughts about Ginger's drag in general.
I don't love Ginger's drag, but I will say that he's a young guy. He's got some time to grow into it. He doesn't have a ton of money. I think also, like, at home, we're supposed to still, like, recognize that it's Jorge. Like, if you're just, like, versus being, like, who's this strange, who's this woman? Like, when I turned around. I think it's getting better. Like, I thought because of the Spider-Woman, she looked good.
Yeah, I mean, that was fun, too. And, like, props to the show for not even waiting a season to just be like, here's a musical episode. This was 7 episodes in. So maybe we're on track for another one before the season's
even up. It wasn't, like, fully. Well, whatever. But I also think they're not really, like, padding her a lot, which is, like, because she's so skinny. Like,
In the last episode, in episode 8, the last we've seen, when she's outside at that rally, she's padded there for sure.
She looks good.
But yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to the point where it's like we see this, like, version where we're like, I don't know, we're just sold this certain version of this thing, and it's like, yeah, we come into the show and the show's telling us that Ginger is a great drag star, but in reality
she is the
she's
Wednesday
just
night
starting
at
out on the
plot.
Scene
yeah
and has some work to do. So that's another way that it's come back.
And
I've
tanked
also
that drag pageant so hard.
Oh, absolutely.
But her mom was Miss Puerto Rico. Anyways.
Yeah. Daphne Rubin Vega as her mom. Oh, I was going to say, while we're on the topic of Jorge's parents, I think that the weakest link of the whole show is the dad. I just don't.
Well, yeah. I think it's one of those things where they're like, we got to make this a story. Like, it's like the dad not wanting him to. And the drag thing, it's hard to explain, like, why he can't just not wear drag on the street. Do you know what I mean? To a lot of people, like, it's not, he's not trans. Like, it's not like, no, this is, I'm a woman, or, you know what I mean? Like, so it's just kind of murky, and I don't think it's been super explained well, but here we are.
Yeah, not necessarily. And right, I mean, sure, I guess if we want to do the plot where there's a disapproving parent, that can be reality. I just think that, like, they're putting a lot of the weight of this on this actor that plays the dad, who I just think only has, like, one expression. But again, the introduction of Jorge's brother, specifically the older one, who's the only one with a speaking line, played by Josh Segarra from the other two, makes me think that they have something in mind with him. He's the one that's a cop, interestingly. And then we see him at the rally, obviously in support of Ginger and Jorge. Speaking of public official? No, I don't know. But Ginger's also dating that firefighter who's just a big hunky brick of
a human. He's super hunky. He, this will date me, but in Queer as Folk, he looks like that the guy from Queer as Folk who
Interesting.
Who I've showed you before. That was dating Michael at the end of, or they were married, whatever, on Queer as Folk. And then I like Pepper Smith, but like, I am waiting for, she's like supposed to be this like hipster grifter kind of like fake it till you make it scam artist, but I'm just waiting for the other shoe to fall. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's not really British. Like, is that what we're going to find out? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She doesn't seem to know that many artists. No, for the Pepper definitely plant. Not. I'm like, at least, like, what's going on here?
Yeah, so is everything a lie? And that is another sticking point just in this last episode, episode 8. Everyone is at Molly's crisis for her birthday party, and Miss Frisia shows up, and that's where all these things come out that Pepper's kind of been lying. And it doesn't really, like, people are reacting to it in the moment, but it doesn't, we don't really see the impact of that in any way.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to make her friendships fall apart. Like, she's been lying to so many people. And it's not even just, like, white lies to a lot of them. Like, she really kind of screwed over Josie and Jorge, you know?
Yeah, that part especially is, it's like, I was, you know, empathizing with her to some degree and liked the character a lot. So I was, like, giving her the benefit of the doubt always. But it does suck that she just straight up lied about that to both of them, and I guess to the Cabots too, but like, again, we don't necessarily care about the Cabots too much.
Nope, not at all.
Yeah, we did touch on Alex, but Alexandra is potentially interesting, but we haven't got a ton of her so far, which again I think is just the show doing a good job of keeping the focus on its actual like protagonists. But I'd be curious to learn more about her, one, because obviously, with that hair streak, we're getting like hardcore Tulsi Gabbard vibes, and that's not a good
vibe. Have you seen Josie and the Pussycats?
And then, yes, of course, that, which Missy Pyle, right?
Yeah, Missy Pyle.
That Cabot.
So there is like, that's where you have like this like intersection of things. But yeah, I don't know. I guess there's probably, you know, we'll see. And I'm interested because at the end of the last episode, they also said like, oh, my dad saw videos of you in a band in school. So are we going to get the Pussycats back? Or are we going to get like a whole new band that Josie's fronting? I'd like to see where that goes.
Yeah, that was definitely a question I had coming out of that.
Oh, yeah, I mean, see it.
In a way, it could be fun to see Val and Melody again. And like maybe the show will do right by them in the way Riverdale didn't either. But maybe they'll just give her a new band.
Okay, so one of the first question here is something we had talked about before, which is that
most pressing question.
Casey Wilson plays herself on the show in an episode coming up, and I think maybe, or in several episodes maybe, and I don't know, maybe she's just like someone that Katie's supposed to be dressing. Although, like, all these celebrities are made up, so I don't know why Casey would be playing herself, but maybe she's playing herself but not herself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that could make sense. But, like, how exciting. And I hope she has, like, classic Casey Wilson energy. I would love if she's basically playing Penny from one of my favorite shows.
And then you have a question here, which is like, what will become of Katie's three suitors, KO, Errol, and Guy? I mean, it seems like Errol's getting married to the woman, but I don't know, maybe not. KO's with Alex Cabot, which I kind of don't think is an awful idea.
No, I think that that works. I mean, the whole modeling thing is funny. And right, that moment at the end with the billboard or the poster on the bus is great. Like, such a good scene.
Yeah. And Guy, let's keep it profesh, Katie.
I think that they will. I like that they kind of had that sort of moment and it kind of colors all their other interactions. He's such a smart ass. Like, I think that there's like no way she would actually like be into him because he's just been such a dick. But I don't know. He's intriguing to me. I was going to say earlier, too, speaking of Prince Errol again, who, as I mentioned, is extremely hot, that scene where those two get it on is like, it just feels, it felt real in a way that Riverdale so often doesn't with some of their like big passionate makeout scenes and that sort of thing.
Yeah, like it felt like they got drunk at a bar and then like, hooked up. Do you know what I mean?
And it was just nice to, like, I guess there's just a lot of ways in which Katie Keene is set up to surprise us right now because it is still so new. But, like, for them to actually go through with that, like, the show had been laying the groundwork, but I was surprised that that happened. And that, it's just like, you know, it can surprise us in ways that ways that Riverdale can't, or when Riverdale does try and surprise us with something like an Archie and Betty potential flirtation again, we're just like, okay.
We're like, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of hookups, who do you think is Pepper's mom? Like, what do you think is her whole story? Like, what are we not... I mean, we know her dad is the doorman. I didn't suspect that because of when she gave him that watch.
Yeah. I wasn't sure. I guess I didn't... It never really crossed my mind, but when that revelation was made, I was like, ah, clever, good. You know what I mean? It didn't completely take me off guard. But, I don't know. She's obviously come up with this full story about living abroad that she lied with people about because she just didn't want people to know she grew up...
like a doorman's daughter?
Yeah, as a doorman's daughter, basically in this hotel still, which is a nice hotel, and that's how she met Miss Freesia. But, yeah, I don't know. Who is her mom?
Is Miss Freesia her mom?
Maybe. But why is Miss... Also, why is Miss Freesia just so... Why is she so invested in Pepper continuing to pull scams on people?
I know. I mean, I guess if she was like her partner, but I don't know that that's even what happened here. And she really fucked her over, like, big time.
Yeah, definitely.
At her birthday party. So.
Yeah, I mean, right. Does Pepper owe her more than we even know about? And that's why she wants her to keep pulling these scams. Yeah. That
against Chad. What is it? Chad Gecko?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, and then another quick, I don't know if there's anything to speculate, really, but another quick question about Pepper is she's been dating Raj, who I guess is KO's roommate, who directs porn, among other things. But she also has that weird... post-song kiss with Dee Dee that her sort of scam artist in training / former hotel clerk. I don't know. I wonder what's supposed to happen there.
Yeah, I thought they were dating. Like, when she bailed on her at the hotel, I thought it was like, hey, girlfriend, do this and this and this for me. And then she kind of screwed her over. But I don't know what's going on. I feel like with a CW show, you always have to have a bi character.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah. So.
And we've got that. Yep.
Yeah. Let's take a break and we'll come back and do the blue and gold, which will kind of intermix Katie Keene, Riverdale, everything going forward. All right, we are back for the latest edition of the Blue and Gold, which is where we talk about our favorite Riverdale adjacent moments every week from the cast, the fans, and beyond. Cameron, before we get into this, let's say you only have an hour in your week and you have to watch Riverdale or you have to watch Katie Keene and you don't have to podcast about either one. Which one are you going to watch first?
Wow, what a question. Okay, there's some caveats to this just because I know, if we're talking about the next available episode, I know for sure the next episode of Riverdale is the musical Hedwig episode. And, there's no doubt in my mind that I wouldn't cue that up.
Fair.
So there's that. But I'm also on the other end of this, I spread it out. I watched the pilot, the first two episodes a while back, but I've watched the last, five in a row. Pretty much. I kind of binged those. And so I'm that is where my brain is Katie Keene. And I'm excited to see it keep going.
Okay. I you know what? I'm on board with you. If it's two even episodes, if it's a random one-off week, then I think I'm watching Katie Keene first just because I like the fluff of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I gotta see what happens in that musical app. And I got, there'll be other Riverdale weeks coming up, which I need to know what's going to happen. So.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, obviously this is still going to continue to be Dial In for Maple, a Riverdale recap podcast, but we love Katie Keene, and we're happy to spread the good word.
Yeah, and we'd really like to hear, if our listeners are watching Katie Keene as well, and, what they think's going to happen, what they think Pepper's deal is, who are the mysteries of Katie Keene? I'd love to hear some speculation.
I was going to say, I'd love to kind of... bring that into our more regular Twitter chatter on Dial In for Maple is to keep talking about this now that we're caught up too. I do remember posting about it before. Well, I posted a poll just to be like, how many of you are watching Katie Keene? And if so, would you like to hear us talk about it a little bit? And overwhelming vote of yes. So that's why we're doing this right now. But I think there was one or two people that responded and they were like, ugh. I mean, except for Jorge, who's so selfish. And I was like, oh, there's some like Jorge hate out there. And I think that this was after the episode. Yeah. I think this was after the episode two where they were all snowed in and Katie was going through all these issues and he was just like, but make me a dress.
Yeah, that was a little rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's continue to talk about it. We want to hear everyone's opinions. Like, who are your favorite characters, favorite moments? What do you love about the show? That sort of thing.
Hey, definitely speaking of Twitter, you should talk about that bracket, man. You did such a nice job.
Thanks. Yeah, it's been so fun to do. And the last episode we recorded of Dial In for Maple about Riverdale was kind of a few days before, I guess, the proverbial shit hit the fan and we really realized how much of a quarantine lockdown we were all going to need to be in. But during that episode, we had kind of thrown out there, like, we should do a poll. And I was like, yeah, that sounds fun. And then, you know, a few days later, we're stuck in quarantine. I'm like, no better time to invest the time in doing this. And you and I kind of talked about a list of folks that we thought would be a good fit. I always wanted to stress in the tweets that it was like, you know, we're not being too strict about what qualifies someone for this poll, you know, because someone like Nana Rose certainly shows up and plays a bigger role than someone like Dr. Masters, the doctor with short sleeves. But I think the unifying factor to me was just that these were all characters that, for good or for bad, we've like gravitated towards as we've watched and talked about the show and been like, why them? Or like, what's their whole deal? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's been really fun to do.
Yeah, I think the seating was good. Although, I do think the people sort of picked out right away. I don't know who they would have thought would be, like, a more formidable match for Nana Rose. Do you know what I mean?
I know.
Was there someone on her side? Maybe Tallboy? I don't know.
Tallboy. She did, for sure. But there have been some matchups that I think were closer than I would have expected. Or just, like, I mean, even this last poll. So, yes, Nana Rose has won. And she beat out Dr. Curdle Jr. in the semifinals. But even that last poll, he had like 33% of the votes, which is good. That's pretty admirable, I'd say, honestly.
Is this when we try to get an interview with Nana Rose?
It probably is, honestly. yeah, it's just been fun to watch everyone vote and see who people stump for. And just I think I mentioned in a tweet, but like to see the people pull ahead that did. Miss Weiss, for example, like it kind of just warms my heart to know that other people want to support them too, because they're just people that I feel like throughout the podcast we've sort of jokingly been like, yeah, we love them. And it's like, why? But we do love Miss Weiss, so it's been fun to watch people kind of throw their weight behind the people that we like too.
I would love to know if there were writers voting. I would love to know if they were like, oh, this is a hot topic.
Yeah, they did. There was some engagement with it early on. I mean, I kind of, when I first put the bracket up, shamelessly tagged a few people, and our good friend Alex Albin had shared it and also called the Nana Rose Dr. Curdle Jr. matchup. But, you know, it's interesting to think about a hypothetical in which they were on the same side and would have had to come head to head sooner. Like, yeah, exactly. Who else could have gone up against Nana Rose?
She's a force of nature.
Smithers could have maybe made it farther if Curdle didn't knock him out in the quarterfinals, but I don't know. Anyway, that was a blast and truly.
You know what? We can do it again next year. We get some new characters in the mix. We get some.
Yeah.
Bring in some people from like other shows. There's like a Riverdale universe kind of Sabrina versus. Yeah.
Yeah, we could definitely do it again.
Versus Josie and the Pussycats, the movie versus.
yeah, of course. Like which versions of Alexander Cabot?
Maybe.
We'll keep
no
thinking
really
on that. Honestly,
that.
I know March Madness is for March, and this is the last day of March that we're recording right now. But yeah, if we're locked up for too much longer, we will have to start doing some more polls just for fun.
Yeah, so thanks, I mean, we don't have a dog like Lily Reinhardt. She's in like, she's trapped, but she has a, seemingly like in a very nice place, somewhere in the hills, and has like a puppy, which is really great. I don't know who else is doing what, like where everyone is. Like, I don't know if they're all just like in apartments in Vancouver or if they're like, if they got out and are like in New Zealand or whatever.
Yeah, it has been hard to tell where most people are. The only one person that I like have seen consistent updates of some kind from is Casey Cott, because a couple weeks ago he started that thing where he set up, I don't really know what this app or software service is, but he set up this thing where you can like text him.
Yes.
And I did sign up for that. I don't remember if I had told you. And at first I was, you like get this generic text at the beginning when you sign up. He's like, what have you been doing to pass the time? And I was like, I've been binge watching Katie Keene. Have you seen it? And then like no response. And then it's like the end of the day. And it's like, sorry, I got a lot of messages today. I'm going to hit the hay. I'll see you tomorrow. And then the next day it's another generic message from him. And so I think there's a world in which maybe he is responding to some people, but I did not have any luck with that.
It seems like he's in like rural Pennsylvania somewhere. And then Charles Melton has been posting some stuff.
Yeah, he has. And he's been going live too, which I like never has been a good time for me to like watch when he goes live. But he's been going live with
so many lives.
Yeah.
It's been nuts.
Lots and lots of those.
I guess if you have nothing to do, but yeah.
Right. Of course. And then KJ on his end, like, I haven't seen a ton of posts from him, but, like, obviously, I still believe theatrical run was kind of cut short, and now I know it's, well, they say it's rentable, but it's, like all the other newer movies, it's, like, $19.99 to rent through Apple TV.
It's for 48 hours. So. But, I mean, if you were going to go to the theater to see that movie, and you were going to go with a friend, and you were going to buy, like, a Coke, that would be, like, $50. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, I think I was saying this to my dad because he was curious about seeing The Invisible Man, and I was like, yeah, but it's 1999. He was like, oh, really? And I was like, well, yeah, if you and my stepmom are gonna watch it together, that's already cheaper than two movie tickets would be, even in suburban Ohio. So
I guess there's Senior Tuesday, which is when my dad goes to the movies, so
yeah, that's true. I forgot about matinee pricing too, like, but but still,
yeah.
I think the other thing I just wanted to touch on was just the general idea of like when we'd be getting more Riverdale, because it had, well, now we have a more concrete answer, but it was up in the air for a little bit.
Yeah, it was up in the air for a couple of days, and it was supposed to be like the 7th next week, right?
Yeah.
9th, next whatever week, day it was.
Right.
They pushed it back
next
a week.
Next week we would have
been. One week, two weeks? Just 1 week, I think.
Just one.
But I think that's also because I have to imagine there's like some post difficulties when people like can't get to work. Like, how do you make the music if like you can't get to your studio? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that could be. I mean, we had touched on the Riverdale writers already, and the one, wait, let me type it in real quick. So Brian E. Patterson, who's always been pretty active on Twitter, had done like a Ask Me Anything About Riverdale show, and he had made it sound like he was pretty surprised by that decision for them to push it back and wasn't quite sure of the reasoning. He's like, the last I saw a cut of it, that episode was like, looked and sounded great and was ready to go. So that was kind of odd.
Yeah, plus like you can, yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of writers' rooms like took a couple weeks off because they didn't know what to do. But then now I think a lot of them are back on Zoom specifically.
Yeah, specifically on Zoom. Well, Brian had also tweeted about like them having a loose blueprint for season 5 and that they'd be convening soon to start like mapping that out more specifically. So, yeah, they're definitely still working on the writing. And from a production standpoint, we've now seen, and again, piecing together his specific tweets from that Q&A tweet session, that the next 4 episodes they had shot, and the following 2, which are the last 2 of the season, they did not get to shoot yet, despite those being written. So,
God, those are always like the 2 big ones too, you know?
Oh, I know. Yeah. I feel like the penultimate episode is always like the craziest of the season. So I'm pretty curious to see what they do. I mean, I think we'll probably get the next couple in a row, and then there is just going to be this potentially long break before we get those answers.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's very odd because, like, a lot of people, people are moving some stuff up. Like, they're like, we have this. I'll just drop it right now. But, like, depending on how long this goes, like, we could have this giant lull where we just, like, things end awkwardly or, you know, the show doesn't come back until November or, like, whatever happens. So, we'll see, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I guess it's good to know that we'll be able to come back in 2 weeks' time and talk about the musical episode, which... You know, we're still going to need some escapist fun entertainment in 2 weeks, that's for sure. So I'm ready for it.
I can't wait. I'm very excited.
And we'll keep an eye on when more Katie Keene comes, too. I think that show had done 8 episodes in a row, so it was naturally going to take, like, a few weeks breather before it got back into things. But I don't know. I also don't know about production of that either, but I'm sure we have a few more in the works before too long, a few more episodes.
Yeah, I don't know. I think probably maybe people really aren't saying anything because they don't want to cause, like, more scariness or more, like, like weirdo fans to freak out and be like, I need to start sending boxes of, you know, spools of thread to the CW to, you know, like, whatever it is to keep Katie Keene on the air. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just think, like, there's probably a lot of uncertainty. So it's just like, okay... You know, let's just do one step at a time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah.
But thanks to everyone for hanging in there.
Yes.
And if you weren't caught up with Riverdale or Katie Keene, hopefully you're taking time to do that now. And if you know someone that's catching up, even from, like, the beginning of Riverdale, or I guess season 2, because that's when we started, you know, send them a link to our podcast.
I know. Podcast listening is down right now, but, you know, this is a good time to catch up on stuff like this. Like, I've been going back and listening to Race Chaser. Anyways, guys, thank you so much. Tell your friends. Dial M for Maple is a production of Onion Inc. Our theme music is by Stuart Wood, and our engineer is Stacey Gerard. The show is hosted by me, Mara Eakin, and Cameron Sheets. If you like the show, tell your friends. They won't even have to try that hard to find us. We are available everywhere podcasts are found. And that's where you should give us amazing 5-star reviews and not comments about how annoying our voices are. And you can follow us on Twitter and take our polls at @dialmformaple. We hope to check in with you guys before too long. And please, 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 please stay safe and healthy and stay home.
That's right. Stay home. Bye-bye, Bulldogs. Till next time.
Bye.